So welcome back, everybody. Let's just do a short breathing meditation, set of motivation, and we'll begin. So, sitting comfortably in your seat. Make sure your shoulders relaxed. And imagine the body breathing itself. So imagining the body settled in its natural state. And the breath breathing its natural rhythm. And just as steam from a boiling jug is absorbed into the surrounding air of the kitchen, imagine all of your thoughts absorbing to the natural radiance of the mind. And once again, recollecting your intention for the study. So a part of that recollection is to generate the mind of enlightenment. So recollect that we're seeking enlightenment to benefit others. And the enlightenment is that of Buddhahood, omniscient Buddhahood. So try to recollect a few of the four qualities were given of the Buddha that we're taking refuge in. Can you recollect what they are? So the Buddha is, first of all, without fear, has skillful means, is perfect or great compassion, and works for the benefit of all, regardless of help or harm from others. And this is the essential nature of the Buddha. So recollect how the Buddha arose or came to be. The state of Buddhahood is dependent upon many different causes and conditions. Try to recollect the two major ones in terms of the true paths and true cessations. And in terms of the Buddha jewel, try to recollect a few of the qualities of the Buddha and the activities that they engage in. And remember that these three types of the four types of reasoning through essential nature, dependence, and efficacy, of course, will be supported by the fourth of a valid proof. Then breathing in deeply through your nostrils. Exhale through the mouth. And just allow your awareness to come back to the room. So this morning, briefly went through these four types of reasoning and then looked at some of the different qualities that a Buddha would have to be an unsurpassable object of refuge. They also talked about the terms of the Tibetan term for Buddha, called Sangha, and Sang was linked to the true cessations. And here we're sort of like the mental continuum being cleansed of all seeds and imprints, and in particular ignorance its seeds and imprints. And if Ga means sort of like fully flourishing, all qualities complete. Then he also mentioned the differences between how we go to refuge to the Buddha jewel and the difference in how we go for refuge to the Dharma jewel. And that a lot of this depends upon how we bringing together three wisdoms of listening, reflection, and meditating. He also mentioned about saying that many people go for refuge, but it's not necessarily that refuge is pure. So when you heard this terms of pure refuge, what did people think that meant? Okay, pure motivation. Okay, meaning what? Yes, that's, I think that's a fit under the motivation, isn't it? Yes, Barbara? So I think, when I heard him, I'll say, it could be sort of levels of understanding in terms of purity, actually. Thinking the first would be pure going for refuge, meaning it's not a worldly refuge. We're actually trying to achieve some future goal in terms of a higher rebirth, liberation or enlightenment. So it makes it sort of pure, so it's not just about this life. Also pure in terms of actually knowing how the objects of refuge exist, their qualities. And you find, which is, sometimes you might have heard of the three spheres, where the person taking refuge lacks inherent existence, the object lacks inherent existence, and the going for refuge is a dependent arising and not inherently existent. And then he sort of came to talk about the qualities of the Buddha jewel, I think in terms of their knowledge and ability. So the knowledge, in terms of the first three being uncreated, spontaneously present and so forth, and the other in terms of ability, with the loving kindness and so forth. So that's sort of like a brief thing, very brief of course, but do you guys have anything you'd like to ask or bring up? Yes, Barbara? Yep. Well, maybe it's very similar to in terms of true sufferings. You know, they come first, and the true origins come after. But that's just a guess. I mean, you could ask Rinpoche this, unless one of the Sangha members know the answer. No, I'm just thinking like the, I don't think like a not like a causal order. I'm not seeing it that way. No. So when you say like order, what specifically do you mean? Is it like you don't? The order I take you mean, but it's a very general one, that there's three up the top and three down the bottom and the so forth. But what do you mean? In Dharma jewel, yeah. Sure. They have true powers and then true cessations. No. Not sequential. There's no sequential order, no. No. Okay. That's it. But ask Rinpoche, why not? I mean, I think this is quite right. In terms of the Four Noble Truths, we get the result before the cause, isn't it? And even there, isn't it? It's true cessations first and then true paths. And then, like you say, in terms of refuge, it's like, you've got to sort of think freedom is possible. Such a thing as freedom exists. So describe the freedoms and then the method of achieving it. But nevertheless, Bob, I think it's still a good question. I mean, that's the interesting thing here. Sometimes I've heard questions you sort of cringe when you hear them, and yet the answers are something else. And you go, well, if they never asked that question, it's like, whoa. So please, ask it. You might get the very same answer, and that's great too, but you might get something else. It's a very valid question. Why not? Yeah. So remember, the true cessation in a Buddha is Buddha. I don't think it's possible in this context. Maybe, I don't know, enough about, it depends what type of abandonment, I guess. Yeah, for the moment, we've abandoned the lower realms, haven't we? It's a different course, that's a different thing. Yeah, the seeds of the afflictions are abandoned by the time the eighth ground. Then you're working with imprints. That's right. The perfections are brought to perfection. You're practicing all the perfections as you go through, but they're perfected on different grounds. That's right. That's right. Generosity means perfected perfection. That's right. Practice perfections. Yeah, that's right. That's the ground of Buddha. Ben, you were going to ask something? Yeah? That's right. That's exactly right. That's right. So you come back to the same idea of chickens and eggs, And you just have to be satisfied with that, Ben, and go, dependent upon the context, one is put forward before the other. It's contextual. You're trying to hop outside all context, well, you've got a big problem then. it depends, I guess, from its... from my little bit of reading I've done, this would depend upon the different schools, So, when you look at the literature in the Nyingma tradition, for instance, they have a primordial Buddha called Samanta Badra. Right, so now, when you start looking at that, you know, that might give you some sort of thing for your answer, but I don't know what you're sort of looking for here, Ben. Well, I think that comes back to like that first moment again. Like I said, from my little thing of in the Nyingma tradition, Samanta Badra or Kunta Tsongpo has just seemed to be something like what you're saying, without beginning, always existent, so forth. But you can't be going looking for persons or anything like that, called Buddhas who called this particular thing. It might be quite a different concept. That's probably a very good idea. I mean, that's what the reason's there for, isn't it? To get these difficult questions, right? So we're just floundering around like we are. Just go, oh, hang on a minute, I've got this tool here. Also use that. Yeah, so you had activities/qualities. I've seen the Dalai Lama put it as efficacy. There are different terms used for it. Logical, or the valid proofs. Yeah. So I've got, So in the world of Tibetan Buddhism, with the Dalai Lama, there's a section there, a very short section on these four types of reasoning. And also, and from here to enlightenment, there's a little section on it. Also by the Dalai Lama. So you'll see the names are different, that's all. And what's really nice is if you hear, an oral transmission like this, so you can hear things and, oh, okay, take your notes, go and look at something like that, you'll see the correspondences. And why the Dalai Lama is always bringing up is because it's very closely related to the way that science works. Science is a very similar type of reasoning. Sorry, what's the other one? After you have it, yep, so there'll be another one then. Yeah. Okay, so we've got a book called Opening the Eye of New Awareness by the Dalai Lama. We can find information on this four types of reasoning. The World of Tibetan Buddhism is another. And From Here to Enlightenment is another. So it's good to sort of, like I said, if you read widely and you find these sort of things, and go, oh, that's something I've always had difficulty with. Maybe sort of writing it down and getting a few notes. And then, just as you suggested, Venerable, when you get these difficult solution problems, just go, oh, hang on a minute, I've got a tool here. Let's run it through that analysis and see what I come up with. Well, like I said, once again, if you have a look at some of the different texts, you get quite a lot of different explanations for inconceivable, that's for sure. Yeah, that's right. Nothing exists in that way. They're all talking about... that's right. No one will ever find that. That's right. No. They'll never find the first Buddha that way. There's no Buddhas that exist like that. The idea, I think many times we use the word beginningless is to get away from the idea of first cause. Right? So I'm just sort of, can't understand what you're getting at. So the thing is, not to get around first causes, posit first cause and see what happens. Then you don't, there's nothing to get around. It just doesn't make sense. So, yeah. But like I said, once again, Ben, it depends what you're imputing Buddha to. So there are, like I said, there are different positions. So whether that helps you or not, hey, that's entirely up to you. But like I say, you've got to sort of keep a flexible mind here and say just because these guys are posited this way does not mean to say in somebody's posited a different way that, you know, that you're negating one or other of them. The possibility of becoming enlightened always being there. Of course, always been there. Yeah, always. No, samsara's created a mistake. This is the whole thing. Just look at what samsara is, how that's created. All things have been empty right from the very beginning, whether Buddhas have existed or not. It's just a matter of whether you can actually develop the wisdom to discern that. There's nothing that's... No, it's never been brought into existence. Yeah, ignorance is... Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. So let's get back to the text. Okay. Anything more anybody like to ask about the text at all, or what Geshe's been talking about? Because you need to have... So those three qualities that are associated with own welfare, the last you know, the two benefits, right? You got uncreated spontaneous and blah blah blah. So together they compromise the knowledge. Now, without the knowledge, there's just no way you can benefit yourself or anybody else. So this knowledge here is the knowledge of reality and of diversity, isn't it? And, of course, you've got all this, so, like he's just saying, if there's something that a Buddha didn't know, well, then you couldn't be enlightened. It would sort of contradict the thing. Right? So there's no ignorance whatsoever. So, of course, in dependence upon that, you've accomplished your own welfare. Right? But because this has been, you know, you've also got the mind of enlightenment that's going right along with all of this. No, it is for the sake of others. Yeah. So you have that all that knowledge within your own continuum, Bob. Yeah, so just getting around the language. That's right, it's getting used to the language. Well, there are two, well, so those who are on the higher grounds and so forth can actually relate to them and create merit and so forth and take teachings from them, all that sort of stuff. That was, like, suppose you'd made these great advances, right, in your spiritual life. And we're now abiding as a bodhisattva on such and such a ground or in a pure land, right? How are you going to take lessons from the Buddha if he doesn't appear to you in the Sambhogakaya aspect? Is it? So you got to read like, so this is not like, so the Buddha doesn't like create these. These are like spontaneous creations. Like whatever's necessary, like, sorry? Yeah. Because the Sambhogakaya is the person. Isn't it, at that level? Sambhogakaya's the person. The emanations are to deal with any blah, blah, blah. By ordinary beings. Yeah, that's right. But this is the, you know, you're imputing like Buddha to that, because none of us can relate to the mind of Buddha. Except other Buddhas, of course. That's right, like the vultures. Yeah. This is imputed, That's right, that's right. Yeah, it's good to help get clarity about that sort of thing, isn't it? Very good, Barbara. Well, just look at your own mind, Linda. What's it qualified by at the moment? Well, there you go. Exactly right. There you go. That's right. Now imagine the mind being qualified for seeking freedom. Right? It's not so hard to do if you can bring it back to where you are. You know, oh, okay. I get it. Yeah. So, what was the quote that you said be qualified by? Yeah, that's right. So that, you know, mind of renunciation and mind of bodhicitta need a lot of support so that until they become uncontrived. Right, so one of the things that it's been qualified by, for instance, is the mind of calm abiding or a very similitude of it. Without that, you don't have renunciation or bodhicitta. Yes, great support. Yep, but it's not like that. But there is a thing, you go through paths, but they don't have this presentation of grounds. It can be, you know, it's called, you can have a Buddha, Arhat Buddha. Yes, Barbara? Yes, for sure. Dead right. Hang on, what are you talking about? No, not equivalent. Yeah, so what did you have written down, Linda? As a person on the Mahayana path becomes an arahat at the end of it. No, you don't call them that, no. No. At the very end, Buddha arahat, arahat Buddha. Yeah. Foe destroyer. The destroyer of the foe. The enemy. Yeah. The foe, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's, sorry, what is that? The arhat. That's it. Destroy, sorry? Oh, not in Sanskrit. Oh, in Sanskrit. So what the terms foe destroyer aren't used in terms of the arhat? The term is what, foe destroyer, destroyer of the foe, and not, sorry? You don't have foe destroyers in Sanskrit? Because? So where did the terms come from? The Pali? The foe destroyer does. Destroy the foe. Yeah, they're essentially awakened. Yeah, in terms of the... It's time. Time to have a break. Next thing, yep. He hasn't gone through in detail. He didn't go through in detail. No, he just listed them and just go, oh, so we're not going to get all the detail in. No, so it's just been enumerated and it's basically the same as it is in the text. Yeah. No, we haven't. No. But it said something. There's no sort of the relationship between the first verse and the verse 9 and verse 10 has not been gone into in any depth at all. No. And I was going, oh, I would like to hear about that. Yeah, we've talked about this. So just. Yes, very different presentation. Yeah, twice. No, it's very quite different, isn't it? Yeah. That's right. Ask for our welfare. It's much easier. Oh, of course. Oh, maybe not. We'll see. I recollected. So somewhere along the Bodhisattva grounds, there's some sort of level. Somewhere in there, then you can go bang. You can actually know something of these. So that's a good suggestion. So maybe we should write your questions out. Just that's a nice way of doing it, isn't it? Bring your attention. Yeah, put them on the table here. That's the way. Yeah. Yep. So and maybe the pure karma one too, and. Yeah, anything else? So, no, that's true too. Yeah. Okay, so we dedicate our study, our reflection to attaining true paths, bring about true cessations, to become fully enlightened, to repay the kindness of our teachers, all sentient beings, and of course bring them to enlightenment. Thank you, everyone.